looking at Matthew chapter 9, the latter part, and continuing into Matthew chapter 10. This is a passage of scripture that I actually preached many years ago. I say many, probably about 9 or 10 years ago. One of the first messages that I had the opportunity to preach here, back when we still had Sunday night services, and I was allowed to preach on Sunday night some, and of course, I probably preach a little differently than I did 9 years ago, but it's been a part of the of Jesus' life that has really impacted me and spoke to me, and I've gone back to this many, many times over my time here, and I've always been able to reflect upon this passage of Scripture and be encouraged by it, but be challenged by it, and I've read this to several people and tried to help them grasp what God's calling is on each of our lives. And boy, if we could just ever get a hold to the message of that video, is that within each of us that we carry this light of Christ. And if we would all allow our lights to shine, then boy, what could we truly do to the darkness? And boy, that is just such a powerful statement this morning. And I see this kind of come to life in this passage of Scripture as we look at the life of Jesus and as he works with his disciples. I'd like to share with you from Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 35 this morning. Matthew 9:35, it says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And going into now verse in chapter 10, it says, "And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, 'Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Let's pray together this morning. Father, we are so thankful, God, that you look upon us, and God, first, that you cleanse us from our darkness, our sin. God, that you give us grace through your Son Jesus. God, that we might be called saved. And God, that we might be your children. But God, not only that, you choose us and you call us not only into salvation, but Lord, you call us into service. And God, you have required of us to take this step, to be part of this army that goes forward in the darkness and begins to bring about the healing of this land that is so desperately needed. Lord, today I pray that you encourage us, you challenge us through your word this morning so that we might be those disciples that go out and make a difference. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of your message today is "Making a Difference in a Dying World." I don't know, it's not much difference today than it was 9 years ago, the first time I preached this, but we're living in a dying world. We're living in a world full of darkness. We're constantly surrounded by destruction, defiance, and darkness. More and more we see the world slip further away from the things of God and closer to the things of evil. And God's call upon us is still the same. It can be easy for us to become complacent and say, you know, it's not my job. it's somebody else's job. You ever have somebody do that to you? You ever go to Walmart and you ask somebody for help and say, hey, look, I'm looking for the automotive department. And they tell you, well, that's not my job. Go to customer service. Right? How would you feel about that? Right? So we have to, if we're the boss and one of our employees says, that's not my job, we probably wouldn't be happy with that. And if we are disciples of Christ and we are saying, this is not my job, then our boss has got to be unhappy with that. I want to give us six things this morning, six keys to making a difference in a dying world. And the first key is that we see with the eyes of Jesus. I want you to look in chapter 9 again, verse 36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Now, Jesus had been going around preaching and healing all sorts of disease. So this was not a new thing for him to run into people with problems, okay? But what he did is he began to look out and saw the multitudes. There were more and more and more people coming out of the woodwork. There were so many that he didn't even know that he could touch them all and heal them all. And so he began to say, hey, we need some help. Pray that we might get some more laborers into the harvest. Even Christ himself says, hey, look, I even have limitations. I need some help to get this done. But he had to look upon the people with compassion. Jesus saw the need of those around him because he looked upon them with compassion instead of pity or judgment. If we fail to see the world through his eyes, we will never truly understand the role, our role, our responsibility. If we look at people as from a Republican's eyes, right? If we are Republican and if we look at them through Republican eyes, we will not understand our role, our responsibility in the kingdom of God. If we look at them through conservative eyes, we will not understand our role or responsibility in the kingdom of God. I want you to know that Jesus was neither Democrat nor Republican. He just loved people. He looked upon their need and he saw their need. He didn't judge them in their situation. He didn't worry about how they got there. He worried about where he wanted to take them. Amen? He wanted to bring them from where they were to where he wanted them to go. He wasn't so worried about how they got to where they were. He was worried about how he was going to get them out of it. He looked upon them with compassion. It's so easy for us we drive by it every single day. How many times have you been two blocks behind this church? I'm telling you, if you just go a few feet, you will see that there are needs all around us. There's a multitude of needs all around us. And the more that we see them, the more we become hard-hearted toward them. We lose our compassion. Folks, we don't need to look at people through our own experiences, through our own eyes, through our own judgments, through our own pity. We need to look at them through the eyes of Christ, through eyes of compassion, and say, what can I do to help? Now, truly, we can't fix all the problems of the world, right? We can't fix all the problems of the world. And sometimes we look at all the problems of the world, and we look at all the issues of the world, and we say, there's just no way that I could ever make a dent in it, so I'd just as soon not do anything. Even Jesus experienced this. He looked upon the multitudes and he said, even I can't get to them all. So let's pray for some help. Let's pray for some help. We need to be able to see others through the eyes of Christ, not through the eyes of our political party, not through the eyes of our own preferences, of our own race. We need to see people through the eyes of Christ. Look upon them with compassion and without judgment. This is not always an easy thing to do, I would admit to you, but this is something that I have always tried to model. I can't say that I've always been successful, but I've always tried to model. No matter who they were or where they came from, I always tried to see them through the eyes of Christ. And not necessarily where they'd been or what they'd done, but where God was hoping that he could take them. Oh, if we could just get a hold of this and we could begin to see people through the eyes of Christ, not through the eyes of the world. The second key to making a difference in a dying world is, not only do we need to see through the eyes of Jesus, we need to seek the heart of Jesus. Jesus' heart would not allow him to ignore the needs of those around him. He saw the multitudes, and he did not leave them. He immediately initialized a plan to pray for laborers to accomplish the task. He immediately began to take action, even though he could not change the whole situation. Even though he knew he could not get to them all, he did not walk away and say, you know what, it's not my problem. He began to initiate a plan, and he started with prayer. Sometimes when we wonder, what could we ever really do about a situation? What could we ever really do to solve these problems in our community, in our society, and in our culture? Sometimes we dismiss it and say, you know, there's just nothing that I can do about that. But we're wrong. There is. We can start with prayer. We can start with prayer. In verse 37 and 38, in chapter 9, it says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And this is what I find interesting about this section of this passage of Scripture, is that Jesus asked his disciples to pray to send out laborers. And you know the first thing he did in chapter 10? He said, guess who I'm sending? I already got my laborers. You've been with me the whole time. You see, up until this point, the disciples had been following Jesus around, watching him perform miracles, and hey, they were all excited about it. This was the coolest thing in the world. They just followed him around, and he did miracles, and everybody worshipped him, and they were excited, and now he's like, all right, now you've seen enough. It's your turn. It's your turn. Our third key is this, is that we need to step up to the call of Jesus. If we look at chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, it says, when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And he names them all, and he names each of the disciples, and he names them by name. It's almost as if he had a list, right? And so if Jesus were to call and say, I'm looking for laborers to go into my harvest to help meet the needs of Evangeline Parish and Ville Platte, I want to know, would your name be on that list? Would your name be written down on that list? When he called his disciples to himself, he listed them out. Would your name be on that list? Would you be brave enough to stand up to that call? And when he's saying, hey, look, I need people to go do my work, to do the things that I want to accomplish here. But I've already trained you. I've prepared you. I've poured into you. You've watched me do it for all of these years. You're ready to take this on. All right? So here, it's your turn. Stand up. Stand up to the call and do what I've called you to do. Do what I've prepared you to do. Do what God has planned for you to do. Do what I've trained you to do. Do what you've seen me do. It's time to stand up to the call. Jesus found his laborers and those who chose to follow him. He prayed to the Lord of harvest, send me laborers, but hey, his laborers had already arrived before he said the prayer. Has that ever happened to you? Sometimes we say a prayer and the prayer had already been answered before we ever even prayed it. I want you to know today that churches are full of laborers, but they choose to be listeners instead of laborers. Churches this morning are full of listeners. They come and they listen and they hear a lot, but yet they have not signed up to be laborers. Christ is looking for disciples, not decorations. He's looking for disciples, not decorations. Yes, the church looks great whenever it is full, but God is not looking for decorations. He is seeking disciples, seeking those who might follow him and go out and do his will, to see the world through his eyes, to chase after his own heart and begin to make a difference and an impact in this world, to be a light of the world, to be his hands and feet. Oh, God is calling us today to step up to the call, to step up. But here's what you need to know. If you want to step up to the call of Christ, the first thing you're probably going to say is, not me. I can't do that. I don't have that gift. I don't have that ability. I've never been able to do anything like that. But here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 1 in chapter 10. It says, when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So if your thought is that, hey, I can't do this because I don't have that ability. Hey, I can't do this because I don't have that power. Guess what? You're absolutely right. You don't, but God does. He says if you will stand up and step up to the call, that he will give you exactly what you need. I don't have any special training to do what I do. I don't know how things get done. Most of the time they get done. All I know is I can stand up and step up and say, Lord, I'm willing to let you use me in some kind of way if you will help me get there. And somehow or another, he works it out. It's never about me. It's never about my ability. It's never about my talent. Most people would say that's an untalented hack. But you know what? God can still use an untalented hack because he has power to help the untalented hack go out and heal the brokenhearted. We have to submit to the power of Jesus. If you try to step up and do it on your own power, of course you will fail because you're trying to do the impossible. You are trying to bring light into a dark place. You are trying to face persecution that you will certainly face. You are trying to do it on your own and on your own power. You are destined for failure. We must submit to the power of Christ. Jesus said, look, just stand up and answer the call, and I will give you what you need when you need it. Not before, but when. Sometimes we don't, and Brother Kevin's not here today, but I know he can attest to this, and Michaela can probably attest to this, but many of you probably can too, but sometimes we're assigned to do something, we're called to do something, and sometimes we're sitting 10 feet away and 10 minutes from when we got to do it, and we have no idea how it's going to get done or what's the first thing that's going to come out of our mouth. But as soon as we stand up and say, okay, God, I'm going to do it for you, there it is. There it is, right there all along. God had laid it out perfectly, nice and neat and pretty for us the whole time. All we had to do was stand up and answer the call. Some of you believe you can't teach. You believe that you can't minister. You believe that you can't witness to others. I'm going to tell you that's a lie from the pits of hell, because in yourself you probably can't do it. But I want you to know that God will empower you if you will only stand up to the call. He's prepared you this whole time. You've been Christians for years. God has prepared you for this time. Now it's time don't depend on your preparation. Stand up and depend on his power, because he's calling you today to do what he left for us to do. You know, when Jesus died and was raised from the grave, and 40 days later he ascended into heaven, you know what he did then? Anybody know? He sat down. He sat down. He sat down. You know what that means? That means his part's done. He's finished. He did his part. Until it's time to come get us. You know what he's waiting on? He's waiting on us. You know whose time it is to work now? It's our time. To let the Holy Spirit work in us and through us and in this world. And we've got to stand up and answer the call. If we ever expect to make an impact in the darkness, if we ever expect to lead people to Jesus, if we ever want to feed the hungry, if we ever want to clothe the naked, if we ever want to get people out of prison and keep them out of prison, if we want to free the addicted, we are going to have to stand up and answer the call. Someone's going to have to do it. The idea that it's the hired hand's job is, I'm going to tell you, you're going to wear them out and you're not going to have anyone left. It's time for us, for all of us, to answer the call. See, Jesus was he's God. And he had the ability to do it all. But he said, I'm not even going to try. Because that's why I got you. That's why I got you. I'm going to empower you. I've prepared you. It's time to stand up and go do what I've called you to do. The fifth key is this, is that we are to share while we're on assignment for Jesus. If we look at verse 7 in chapter 10, it says, And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. As you go, as you give, preach. Not as they come, preach. It didn't say that. It didn't say, hey, as everybody comes to you, you preach the gospel. It says, as you go, as you encounter this world, as you embrace God's call, as you go out into the streets, as you go out into the alleys, as you go out into the poorest parts of town, as you go, preach the gospel. As you go. We have to share while we're on assignment for Jesus. Not share while we're in a seat for Jesus. Share as you go. We are on an assignment, a task. Even if we're not in full-time ministry, God has you on an assignment. No matter what your profession, no matter what your job, God has set you on a course and a path to begin to glorify Him and share with others about the wonderful news of God's grace, about the glorious news of Jesus Christ, so that all might come to know Him and be saved. Oh, you have a beautiful message inside of you, a message of light and a message of hope. Oh, would you share it with this world as you encounter them? As you go, don't wait for them to come. Hey, share it with them. Change their life. Bring them back with you. We'll celebrate together. Share it as you go. As you go. And finally, the sixth key to making a difference in a dying world is to serve. Serve as the hands of Jesus. Verse 8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Most of you say today that, well, heal the sick. There's hospitals for that. We're not healing people with what we do. Cleanse the lepers. I haven't seen too many lepers running around, you guys. There's probably a few people that most of us don't want to go near, but raise the dead. As we share the gospel, we're raised from dead to life. Cast out demons. You know, these are things that we probably don't see today, right? These are probably things that we say, well, this isn't really relevant to me today. But what he's saying is that you are to encounter the greatest issues in culture. If you go back to Jesus' time, there were no hospitals. There was nowhere for people to get healing. If they were sick, most of them died. Or they stayed sick unless miraculously they were healed. They had this place called the Pool of Bethesda. If they were sick, when the Spirit of God began to move in the pool, they had to hurry up and jump in there, and one of them might get healed. That's how they were cured from disease and illness in Jesus' time. There were no hospitals. He said, hey, there's a problem. There's a bunch of sick people, and we have no way to care for them. He told the disciples, heal the sick. He said, cast out demons. Hey, look, they had a guy that had a bunch of demons in him. They didn't know what to do. They brought him out of town, brought him in a cave, and chained him up because they didn't know how to handle him. They didn't know what to do with him. Lepers, they put him outside the city gate, And they wouldn't let them come anywhere near anyone. They didn't know what to do with them. These were the greatest issues of Jesus' time. They were the greatest issues of culture. They were the greatest things that were impacting their society in that day. What Jesus is calling us to do today is to go out and be the church that impacts our culture and challenges the greatest issues of our world today. And it's not real hard to figure out what they are. If you go look inside our prisons, I guarantee you that 80% of them are locked up due to some sort of alcohol or drug-related incident. It's not hard to figure out what the biggest issues in our culture are today. Shame on us that we would be a church that says if somebody comes to us for help and says, hey, I have an addiction, I need help, we say, well, we can't help you here. Go find you some help out in the world. Shame on us. Christ has called us to go out and impact our world for Him. To go, heal, raise, comfort, cleanse in every way that we can. It's as applicable today as it was then. Because this is why we do it. Freely you have received, freely give. And see, you really have to know the value of your gift. You have to know the value of your gift to want to give it away. And if you don't want to give it away, if you don't know the value of grace and you don't want to give grace away, then something You don't quite fully understand what God has done in you, because we were all unredeemable. We use the word lost, needing to be saved, but we are all unredeemable, which means that we are in a condition that we cannot get ourselves out of. We are in a state that we cannot change because of sin that's in the world and sin that is in us. And not because we did anything right or because we're just that good of people or because we deserved it, but because God loved us, He sent His Son. He sent His Son so that He might die for us, so that we might be redeemed from an eternal life of death and misery into eternal life with Him. Do you know the value of that gift? Think of your life without it. Now, would you give it away? Would you give it away to someone else? I know that many are probably raised in church and have never known a situation in life where or remember a time in your life maybe that you didn't know Jesus. But imagine yourself being born into a different family that didn't attend church or didn't believe at all. Things could be much different. God's grace may have just well been upon you from day one. For others, that is not the case. I encourage you this morning to seek and understand God's calling on His disciples. And that means disciple means follower. It means those who have professed Christ and said that, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go, right? We say that, but He has called us to be disciples, not decorations. He says, let's get in the game. Let's get in the fight. Let's see the world through my eyes. Let's stop judging them. Let's stop showing pity on them, but show them compassion. Through prayer, seek the heart of your Savior. Through prayer. Step up to the call of Christ. Step up. Submit and operate under His power. Share while you're on assignment for Him. Share the gospel to everyone that you encounter. Share as you go, not as they come. And serve. Serve others as the hands and the feet of Christ. You know that we are never more like Christ than when we give. We're never more like Him than when we give. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about giving of ourself, giving to others who don't deserve it. All right? Giving to others who may or may not deserve it. And that's kind of a difficult statement, because who are we to say if they deserve it or not? That's God's determination. Let's be givers of grace. Let's answer that call of Christ. It's not just the hired hand. It's every person. It's every disciple. You don't have to be skilled and trained and have all the answers. You just have to be willing to stand up and say, okay, Lord, use me. He'll take care of the rest. You just got to trust me on that. He'll take care of the rest. He really will. Let me pray for you this morning. I thank you, Father, for all that you do in us. I thank you for